T-Man?
Oh. Strickland Propane, taste the heat, not the meat.
Lord, no!
This is Taste the Heat, Not the Meat, Episode 1. Back not with a bang, but with a slow, painful dribble.
Yahoo!
I think I need some practice on my triangle.
I think I got a little stage fright. I feel like Hank Hill holding up an airplane bathroom line right now.
It's been a while. It's been a while for a podcast, right?
Yeah. There's a lot of unaired things out there. You know, we've been trying to work on a project for eons now.
A few years at least, perhaps a decade, maybe more, 15 years. Anyway, I'm Jay.
I'm Patrick.
And when we're not busy being trophy husbands,
we're doing a podcast about a 25-ish year old television series.
I think it's even older than 25.
Probably 27. 1997,
right?
Math.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I don't know. Who knows?
We established that. It was 1997.
I'm not good at math. I can't cook, I can't dance, but I look great in Spanx, so Ireland's not ready for this house.
Are you wearing your Spanx now? Are you wearing the Spanx under the bro tank? Are they bro Spanx?
You know, sort of. We're saving that for the Patreon, though. Only paid subscribers get to see that. This ain't going on the public line.
What
public
a benefit.
Line.
We're gonna be yes. Rolling in the dough.
$250 a month,
so,
I think. I don't know. We haven't set a price yet.
So
I'm
this,
Patrick, anyway.
This is our attempt at a King of the Hill podcast, in case you hadn't figured out from our ass backwards name. And why are we doing a King of the Hill podcast? Why are we talking about a cartoon that was on almost 30 years ago?
For a myriad of reasons, a myriad. One, this is a show that we've been kind of privately talking about in passing for 10 years, maybe slightly less.
The amount of bandwidth we've wasted on Peggy Hill gifs and Hank Hill butt gifs and Bobby Hill squee gifs and squee.
Him with a chef hat on. You call them gifs? I'm a jiffer.
Oh,
I go with
GIF. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the show's already canceled. I can't.
We're getting replaced.
Is graphic design your passion?
I love graphic design. Design.
So we're here talking about King of the Hill because King of the Hill is back. It's fucking back.
Yeah, it's been off the air since like 2012, 2013-ish. It kind of ended with a whimper, I think. There's been talks for years, maybe.
About it coming back. Yep.
Yeah.
This has been in the works for a few years. Probably hit some delays because of the COVID, like many things.
Yeah. We had to sit through a lot of reboots. The Wonder Years.
Night
Court, for some reason, came back.
You know, and The Worst, which just got canceled, thankfully. And just like that, for anyone who was a Sex and the City fan, talk about the, like, I don't know how they could have done a worse job at bringing that show back.
They just needed something to do that day. Let's just make a 3-year TV series right now.
The only good thing they did in that show, I think, was killed off Big. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about King of the Hill and the first episode of the reboot of the new season. We're coming back about 10 years, right, after where we left off, even though it's really been like 15, I think, since we last saw the show.
Fuzzy on this timeline. I am so fuzzy on this timeline.
Well, they've always been a little fuzzy on the timeline and on the ages of the characters, but I think they said that Hank and Peggy have been in Saudi Arabia. I can't do it.
Saudi Arabia
for about 10 years. But Bobby is 21, but he was like, what, 13 or something when we left, at least?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Bobby was obviously born in the 80s. Because if he was like 10-ish, 11-ish in 1997, that would have placed him like 85, 86. And he's They reference the pandemic, so you know.
The pandemic.
You know now, Bobby's a little
okay,
bit older.
Suddenly you're George Bush. Read my lips. No taxes. I don't know why I think I'm doing Nixon fingers with
yeah, you do it. I'm not a crook. Richard Milhouse Nixon.
I'm getting my crooked politicians mixed up. King of the Hill has always been a little age timeline fluid, but where we're picking things up, Bobby is 21, so he says, and it's roughly 10 years that they've been in Saudi Arabia. And so the show kicks off with Hank and Peggy coming back.
They're on a plane, 30,000 feet in the air in Texas airspace. It's wild. It's in the slow descent right now, and everyone's getting up to do that quick. You know, the captain's like, may I have your attention, please? If you need to, you know, stretch your legs, we're going to be on. We're going to be touching ground in about 30 minutes. So, you know, now's the time to go. And Hank's had a full bladder for like 22 hours, maybe.
Hank thought he was going to be able to hold it the whole time. He's that kind of a guy, right? He would want to hold it the whole time. And why would that be? Because it's narrow urethra. He couldn't get it out.
I love that, you know, within the first 8 seconds of the show, we get a narrow urethra reference. That's, you know, when I think of Hank Hill, the first place my mind goes is that dang old narrow urethra.
This is my urethra.
It's like trying to pee through a pixie stick.
Do you remember the episode where they got drunk and he held up the straw? Yeah. And this is my urethra.
Yeah, he can't shoot. He can't shoot appropriately. I think it doesn't affect the engine, but it kind of affects the mileage, maybe. There's a reference to it in the very first episode of the original King of the Hill where, like, Peggy Hill is talking to the Department of Social Services guy, and she's like going full in depth about you know, why they only have one kid.
And she went deep on Hank's urethra.
And she does it on the airplane too. She's like, you know, the doctors even say that, you know, his urethra is getting like even slimmer. It's like that of a 7-month-old baby. Benjamin Buttoning right now.
The Benjamin Button urethra.
Don't share that, Peggy. You just hear him from the bathroom. Don't share that.
And they have to ask for a medical professional on board. And you know that that's a thing that actually happens, because that's a thing that happened to me. Ladies and gentlemen, is there a doctor on board? When I started to pass out after takeoff on a Southwest airline flight. And that's the last thing I remember hearing before I started to black out.
You wake up in like Des Moines, Iowa. You're like, where am I? You're in a hospital bed.
I woke up, they folded down the jump seats that the flight attendants sit on and laid me out across those. And then they had three doctors come over. I got a cardiologist, I got a neurologist, and I got a family practice doctor. So I was well covered, and nothing ended up being wrong with me other than the fact that I just had been traveling too much for work and not getting enough sleep. But that is an actual thing that happens. The ladies and gentlemen, is there a doctor on board? Yes.
Was there a random doctorate in like English lit that just happened to, you know, just shine in that moment? Like, you know what? Technically, I'm a doctor. I've seen 7 episodes of Grey's Anatomy. I can do this.
Hey, I've watched
every
episode.
Sticks a pen through your trachea.
Every episode of ER 7 times. Oh, yeah, tracheotomy, every medical show does. We all know how to do those, right? With a pocket knife and a ballpoint pen, that's all you need.
You can do it with a paperclip. Fuck, like, you can, whatever the mind desires. You know, if you have that, like, Coke fingernail, you can do it with that.
You need the paperclip Hank's narrow urethra so he could finish peeing so the plane could actually land, which it did.
Yeah, because I'm sure they don't stock an intermittent catheter on Southwest or whatever, Dubai Airlines.
I don't know. Maybe the international flight attendants are trained in catheterization.
I used to be a nurse. Actually, you know what? In like the 30s and 40s when they actually were doing like the initialization of public travel, like via plane, they like all the flight attendants were like nurse trained, so you know they can deal with head injuries because you know those planes were fucking bouncing around all over the place.
Of course, we couldn't really do much for you because medical technology back then wasn't very advanced. But hey, we can wrap your head in bandages.
You know what? There's nothing we can do. He needs a lobotomy. Sorry.
he just needs an...
Sorry, Caroline Kennedy.
The ice pick up the nose, right? The flight attendants were trained in the ice pick up the nose lobotomy.
Yeah. You know what? There's nothing we can do. We just got to get that stress off the brain.
So they did finally land, came back to Arlen after like a decade. And, you know, it was interesting. So it was like they had had no contact. Hank and Peggy had had no contact with anyone in Arlen and had no idea what had happened in Arlen for the past 10 years.
No, it was like, what I was going to say, actually, what I meant to initially say earlier was, if they've been gone for 10 years, they left Bobby when he was 11. So did they just leave him in Texas?
At 11 years old. I know. So that's why it's confusing, because we're not quite sure like how long they've been gone, right?
Yeah, Peggy has to have a Facebook. She has to have a Facebook. She has to like kind of like DM Nancy Gribble like here and there. She has to know what's going on. Because there's this whole thing where she like just finds out that Nancy Gribble and John Redcorn have like a real estate reality show in Arlen, selling Arlen.
So now I feel like I need to search again to find out how long they were actually gone.
I'm like pretty certain they might have said 8 years. I have the number 8 in my head. Ocho. Ocho. I feel like Peggy uttered that in this episode.
So I guess they said they left when Bobby was 18, and he didn't go to college though. So
it's only been 4 years, maybe, I don't know, 4 more years. So they definitely left before the pandemic, because
right,
Hank had no idea of what was going on in Arlen during the COVID breakout.
Again, it's. A very fluid timeline.
Time doesn't matter in cartoons. Bugs Bunny is like 100 now and he's still chipper.
The thing that I found interesting about it was the voices and the changing of the voices, or rather not so much changing of the voices, because Hank doesn't sound like he's aged at all. Bobby doesn't sound like he's aged at all. Bill doesn't. Boomhauer, maybe a little bit. Dale is kind of tough, because while I thought we were going to get Johnny Hardwick still voicing him in this first episode, it didn't sound like Johnny. It actually sounded like Toby Huss.
I heard that they were doing kind of both of them and like intersplicing them to kind of...
Yeah, so there could have been some of that. So it was a little hard to tell with Dale. But Peggy, Kathy Najimy... Who the voice that she's done for Peggy is really not very far off from her natural speaking voice. So I don't know if it's just because of Kathy having aged. Peggy sounded like she's aged 30 years.
And it sounded, I don't know if this is all that ear travel that they experienced, but she sounded a little nasally. So maybe her ears didn't pop. I don't know. There was something going on with her voice. She's got the little... Everyone's got these little like neck wrinkles, the little waddle thing going on, except for Hank. Hank, for some reason, still looks the same.
Right, right. And
John Redcorn aged horribly. Shadow of a former man. That little ancestral energy didn't do good for him.
I sort of expected that if anyone was going to have done some plastic surgery, it would have been John Redcorn, right? He would full on like have a hairpiece, the Botox, you know, getting the neck tucked. But
there's got to be a little like Botox place in Arlen that popped up in the last couple of years, because this town has changed.
There's so much new stuff in Arlen. There's a poke place.
Yeah, a poke place. I'm sure there's a vape shop. I'm sure.
And Bobby probably frequents it.
We got Robata Chain, his Texas fusion.
German-Asian fusion restaurant, right?
Yeah. He was, I mean, I'm guessing this is all his heritage, right? Because he's got like the weird Japanese uncle or something in the background.
But then he was serving like pretzel bites with mustard. Was that supposed to be the German influence? I was a little confused. But
you know what I really want to see on his menu? Yeehaw mommy, like edamame, but Texas spiced. Yeehaw mommy. And he's the chef, the owner, and he like works the front.
He does everything. He had to clean the kitchen. He had to mop the floors.
There's like Hefe works in the back too, but I don't even think he does anything.
He cooked and then he bolted. So they don't have a dishwasher. They don't have a janitor. They have Chain, who seems to be the silent partner and is probably the money in all of this, right? Which is why his name is in the restaurant and not Bobby's.
It was just going to be Rabada, but
Bobby
didn't have the business like sass.
He didn't have the money.
You know, he doesn't know how
honest.
To do real estate
and
stuff.
Come on. But they said that Bobby is living with Joseph. We didn't see Joseph in the first episode. We did get to see Connie. Connie's been away at college. She's not been in Ireland, but she was back visiting a friend, she said.
Yeah, she was hooking up.
Yeah, which Bobby was too.
Lots of fucking in this episode.
There was, and it was a little disturbing, I'm going to be honest, to hear Bobby with the same voice that he had when he was like 13 years old. Making just out with
a UT Dallas girl.
and butt dialing Peggy in the process. So we got to hear it all.
And allegedly, there are shades of Hank kind of lingering in Bobby because he keeps his t-shirt on.
Which is interesting because he didn't when he was younger, when he was with Connie, right? Remember, they both got, well, she started to get shirtless. He got shirtless with Connie, and she started to, and that's when Khan Sr. walked in on them. We didn't get to see Khan yet in this episode.
We're building up to it.
We did get to hear a little in the little preview that Hulu dropped, like on Instagram and YouTube. We got to hear a little of Khan, so we know he's going to be around, but haven't seen him in the episode yet. Now, of course, all 10 episodes have dropped, but we've only watched the first because we're going to go through them week by week. We're assuming this is going to be a weekly podcast. We're assuming we're going to make it past this first episode. And
we're going to string it out over 10 years is what we're going to do.
Yes, that's probably what's going to happen, knowing how good we are at sticking with regular podcast schedules.
Absolutely. Once we get things rolling, you'll be kissing the ground at our feet, just like Hank kissing Texas soil at Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, just getting in everyone's way. People are trying to make their connecting flight, trying to get to the Chili's so they can grab their to-go, and Hank's just fucking bowing down, falling on his knees. Oh, Texas! So patriotic.
I'm surprised no one tripped over him.
It's in a deleted scene somewhere. You just got to. It's on the King of the Hill TikTok. And there's like, they're walking through, and Hank's like, oh look, there's a Bob's here. It must be some like hometown diner or something. And it's a boba place. there's a sign that just says truffle. And he's like, what's going on? Are we in Amsterdam? They must have had a layover in Amsterdam, and I bet it went horrible. I could see them in Amsterdam. You know, maybe they had like 8 hours there, and they just decided to take in the sights. And, you know, Peggy, she's like fluent in Dutch now all of a sudden. She's all mom jeans and moral panic, and she just like negotiates an accidental threesome with some like Red District street harlot. They're going back to her place. She's like, oh.
Do you think Hank partook in any drugs while in Amsterdam?
He accidentally did some
vaping or
they went into some they kind of have the little liquid THC or something. I don't hashish, whatever you want to call it, the little oil, and it's just like dipped in the tea. He's like, he doesn't know it's on the menu, and he's like, I'll have the whatever. And it's just, and that's an hour later, and he's got that little, you know, when he has the headphones on, he's listening to the Jerky Boys on Bobby's headphone. And he just has that wide eye, and he's just, what's going on here? He had to take a wheelchair back to the airport.
You know what, though? That probably would have opened up his urethra, and he wouldn't have had those issues on the plane. So I'm guessing
it might have been.
Probably.
And you know what?
Didn't.
It might have helped him with that accidental threesome too. He wouldn't have been the cuck in the hotel bed like chair corner.
Right? you can see Hank in that chair, can't you?
Oh, I can just see him with his hands on his knees, just trying to figure out what to do. Peggy's got her little Dutch-English pocket-sized dictionary in her hand, trying to look up thank you real quick.
Because, of course, that's what Peggy would be using instead of an app on her phone, right? She would have the pocket-printed dictionary.
Oh, she downloaded the app. She paid the $7.99 unknowingly for that because it's already got her credit card number stored. But she didn't realize that she had to update it. She didn't download the language, so she doesn't know what to do. But luckily, in her little purse, she's got like all she's got a little book of like, yeah, she's got a little boggle kit.
Her travel boggle.
Yeah, the little like keychain size one that you can get. You pick up with tweezers. You pick up the little letters.
and just the tiniest little boggle timer
notepad
with sand in it.
You got 10 seconds to do this puzzle. She can do it.
It's okay because the boggle set is so small. There's only like four rows each way.
It works because Peggy was always kind of neurotic, and she's still neurotic.
She is.
She's a little extra though. A little extra.
Okay. Saying Peggy is a little extra is like an understatement from where she was, you know, 15 years ago. So Peggy is a lot extra. She's just now a lot older extra.
I don't know if it's just that, you know, maybe I haven't really been in this world for a bit, or just the world has changed so much in the last 13 years. So, like, you know, it kind of went out when things were really popping. Like, you know, iPhones existed, I think, and when the show was still in the air, but it wasn't so part of our lives.
They were just coming into being. I mean, the characters did end up getting cell phones, right? Towards the end, they all had cell phones, but I think they had flip phones. But again, we were sort of fluid with the timeline and age and everything back then. But that's what was kind of interesting about jumping back in after this long of a gap of time is, this is the same issue you've seen with other shows where obviously the world has changed a lot over the past 15 years and they have to acknowledge it, but they do it in a way that almost makes it seem like these characters have been on a different planet for the past 15 years. I mean, I realize they were in Saudi Arabia and they've tried to say they were sort of sheltered from what was going on in the country because all they had to watch was Fox News and CNN. But there's very much
what?
CNN what? Very much this idea that, like, they just didn't have any concept of what was happening outside of their own bubble. And in fact, they get back to Arlen and things have changed so much. I was shocked to see that their reaction was, maybe we should go back to Saudi Arabia because that felt, the community that we were in there felt more like Texas than Texas does now.
We get this whole scene where they flash back and Hank's kind of driving down Aramco, I believe is the name of the Arabian yes. propane and Arabian propane accessory headquarters. And I guess it's just all these probably like 50-ish year old Texan guys that just got like swooped up. Like some guy just like came into Texas one day and was just rounding them up.
And pulled them into a community over there that looked just like Texas, just like middle America.
But it's elevated a little bit because they kind of live like kings out there, you know.
They had
Hank's
someone
got the,
to meet them at the door and bring them a drink.
On.
And
yeah, the little refreshing iced tea coming to the door every morning.
And Hank.
Hank just glaring at his wife.
Sporting
and
the aviators. He was styling. He was styling in that Saudi Arabia.
Oh, I bet he was a lady killer out there. I bet he was batting them off. Peggy got a little feisty out there, I bet. You look very elegant in your modest robe, Peggy.
It's the best Peggy has ever looked. Black is a very flattering color on her. Black, thick fabric. Very flattering.
She even makes a reference to how she's relieved to live out there because she was tired of getting catcalled every 5 minutes in America. And Hank's just like, oh, that happened?
That was a thing that, yeah, that happened.
Yeah, yeah.
Once in a dream you had.
Yeah, but I guess the kind of the butt of the whole thing, though, is if you actually look back at Arlen, though, even 1997 Arlen is probably 1982 Arlen. So you got to think of it from that perspective, too. Arlen was always kind of like behind on the times.
Well, that's what's interesting is like how much it changed then in 15 years, because it didn't really change at all in the original run of the show. They kept Arlen very, you know, I think they got a new stop sign at one point or got a new yield sign and got a stop sign removed. And like that was the extent of Arlen changing beyond, I suppose, the Megalomart.
The Megalomart came in, though. Yeah, that came in.
But and Megalomart is still there. We got to see Megalomart. Megalomart has a brand new logo. It's lowercase.
It's all lowercase.
I was shocked at the design choice.
It's got it had Target vibes to me.
It did. It did have Target vibes.
Because I think it was originally supposed to be a play on Walmart, obviously, and right. That now it's kind of like it's upgraded. It got a little classy upgrade.
It's the softer side of Sears. Everything has gotten softer. And how do we represent that with a lowercase, sans serif font? Nothing fancy. Nothing flashy. It's just a soft, chill Megalomart vibe. And so I can't wait for us to hear the new age or light EDM version of Feels So Good with Chuck Mangione, except it won't be played on flugelhorn. It'll be on like a little synthesizer.
Harpsichord. What's and that little?
Maybe,
I was gonna call
maybe
it a key
triangle.
Yahoo! In case you haven't figured it out, we're definitely going hard on this triangle. The refreshments, Yahoos and Triangles, the infamous theme song, still intact.
Yes,
still intact. By the way, yeah.
And it got like a little extension at the end when he closed out the episode, and a little bit of a different version that we haven't heard before.
Yeah, you gotta modernize it. I wonder if they got the refreshments back. I didn't quite. Is it the refreshments?
It is.
Or the replacements? Okay. Like, is it the Rembrandts?
Or the Rembrandts? Or
the Proclaimers? Heart with Nancy Wilson.
It is definitely the refreshments.
Refreshments.
They got a credit, so I assume that. I mean, we know the original theme was by them, so I don't know. I'm assuming this updated one that we got a little bit at the end, but I suppose we'll have to ask our favorite search engine or large language model to find out. So that'll be interesting to see. Did we get any AI references in this episode? I don't think we did.
Not yet. I think that's still a little too new school.
Any AI conspiracies yet?
No, the only thing we really got from Dale was that he is on a government kill list and a no checks list because of his 36-hour stint as the Arlen mayor.
That's right.
Which he won in like a technicality or something.
Dale
there was 11
was
candidates.
Mayor. He got the plurality of votes with like 9%, right? Because there were 11 candidates and no one hardly voted for any of the others.
They didn't know what to do. It was probably a new voting system. It wasn't hanging chads. It was probably like an actual.
They had
like,
to use a touch screen, and no one could figure it out.
Yeah, and the touch screen wasn't configured appropriately, so like you tapped the wrong name or something, and then like It was like an election steal. Like Dale technically stole the election, and then he became an election denier, which is a thing that doesn't make sense. But it's Dale, so it does make sense.
It makes perfect sense with Dale to deny that he denied the election that he denied. Did we get into triple negatives? I'm not sure. I'm lost.
But it was 36
hours. Mayor for 36 hours. How much damage could he have done?
I know those flexi post barricades were up.
Is he responsible for the flexi post barricades that now cause Hank to not be able to drive the direction he wants to down his alley to get to his house and has to add an additional mile of travel time because he has to go 5 blocks out of his way to make a U-turn to drive 5 more blocks back in order to get
my ass
home, but only when they're coming from the south? Was it from the south?
It was like, just from the south.
Yeah, just from the south.
So apparently they come from the south a lot, I guess.
We're going to need to see a map of Arlen to actually figure out like how much of their time do they spend. Like, is Megalomart to the south? Is that where all the time is going to be? And
Well, definitely where Hank was storing his F-150. It was in a storage shed. That was definitely to the south because he was coming back from that, because that was him kind of driving through Arlen, and he was just confused by everything. There's like all these changes.
And we didn't get a shot of him driving by Strickland Propane, did we?
So no, or Tom Landry Middle School.
Yeah, so we don't know if Strickland Propane actually still exists yet.
I feel like it's gone under. Aramco came in and took all the heavy hitters, which really is just Hank. Let's be real. It's just Hank. You know, he didn't hire that guy that couldn't get the taste of the meat, heat line right.
Let's be honest. Buck Strickland lost it in a poker game, right? Like,
he's doing what Bill Daughtry, if however you say his last name, does. I can never see his last name.
Bill so. Dotrieve. Bill Dotrieve. Fontaine Dotrieve. De La Tour Dotrieve.
We have to talk about that. This was a huge, like,
some
what the fuck moment for
ate
me.
Bill, yeah, huge is the right word for it. Wow.
He is, Hank just kind of, Hank steps outside and he meets up with Boomhauer. Boomhauer has his girlfriend's, son with him, Luke Jr., and he's got that like that Gen Alpha, Gen Z stare. He doesn't know how to communicate with people. He's like, hey, say hi to Hank, Luke. And Luke's like, what do you want me to do? What? I'm confused.
The Gen Z stare coupled with anxiety and, you know, unmedicated anxiety.
Mr. Brian Robertson, he's the guy who was like subletting Hank's house for the last 8 years is there still. He just never went back to where he lives now.
So where is he living now? That's what I want to know.
It doesn't matter.
They're throwing another couch out in the alley and he's sleeping on that.
So they're just talking, they're just shooting the shit, and then like it just Cameron just kind of pans over slightly to the left and it's Bill's house and the window's open and he's like, Hank? Is that Hank?
And all you see is Bill because he fills up the entire window in his bed.
Like, it's just through a window. It's dim lighting. There is like taquito wrappers all over the place.
The house hole, he called it, because he couldn't remember what those outsiders referred to the house hole as, which is the window.
Yeah, he goes like he couldn't remember what it was called. The window was called. He called it like the wall hole.
The wall hole. Yes. Come over. Bring her over. Bring Peggy over to my wall hole to say hi.
There's a great fucking line where he's like, "Do you know what happens when you get to the end of Netflix? There's this thing called a wellness check takes place."
Normally, Netflix says, "Are you still there?" In this case, it says, "Are you still alive?"
Yeah. So that means Bill has gone through everything on Netflix. Emily in Paris, all those like Lindsay Lohan Christmas movies. He's watched it all. It's like sat through it all.
When you scrolled too far and you reached the end of the internet, and what is left?
Yeah.
I guess more DoorDash.
And he's like, oh, it's great. He's like, they just bring food to your porch or throw it at it. He's got like one of those little gripper things to try to get it outside.
Wasn't he using a rake to try and just scrape things inside off of his bush?
Yeah, there was like some like an Amazon hole. Drone drop or something came by. And Hank even like he wants to. He's just all stressed out, so he wants to go to Megalomart just to like buy a wrench or something. He's like, and while I'm here, I'm gonna get a winch because he's like, we gotta get Bill out of the house somehow.
And we know that Megalomart has everything.
All it took to get Bill Daughtry out of that house was just some burgers on a grill on a Vong. What was a Vong Chakra grill or something?
The Wagner Char King.
With touchscreen
and Wi-Fi that Hank ripped off and controlled. Threw over in the yard.
It's in a box on the corner.
But Bill came out of that house wearing nothing but a T-shirt.
Nothing but a T-shirt on. Isn't that
buck naked under that T-shirt? But it was hanging down to his knees, so it's fine. It's
just wait until there's a gust of wind.
Still a PG rated show.
A little Texas downstorm comes through. Nothing no one in that neighborhood seen before. Let's be real.
So, what was your favorite part of this first episode?
There was quite a few little moments here and there. Obviously, the opening with Hank on the plane. It's like snakes on a plane for me. Just someone's going to get this motherfucking Hank off this motherfucking plane. That's all I can think of. But there is like a little, this one little screen grab of when Dale is explaining his Merrill win. Apparently he has like the article like folded up in his wallet and he like pulls it out. It's like a newspaper clipping and it's just a picture of him like begrudgingly shaking some guy's hand announcing the win. And it wasn't much, but it was just one of those laugh out loud moments for me that I actually had to like screen pause it, and there's like, you can actually read the article underneath, and we'll find a way to get it on the screen. We'll find a way. I don't know how, but we'll find a way.
I think I liked the Twig Boy had these floppy flex posts installed. was probably for me my favorite because we got a Twig Boy reference. We got Hank saying floppy flex posts. And we all knew what he was talking about. I loved the attention to detail where they actually had those with new bike lanes in Arlen, right? Like every community now with the green painted bike lanes. And Hank, like at one point, even he ran over some of those, right? When he was, I can't remember what he freaked out about when he was in the truck with Peggy when they were going to drive to the Megalomart. And he actually ran over a few.
It was the Oklahoma barbecue sign.
That's right, the Oklahoma barbecue billboard in Arlen, Texas. That was nearly the end. Hank nearly went to Megalomart to get a Sawzall to literally just end it all. But instead, they saw some Girl Scouts selling cookies, learned that Samoas have been renamed Caramel Delights, and said some changes are good, and the Girl Scouts said it's nice to be nice because it's nice to people from Samoa.
Yeah, so, it kind of brings in this whole like the friendship and camaraderie now happens after that. They all go back to the alley. They fire up the grill, and Bobby shows up with some burgers that he drops on the ground because Bill just knocks his ass over.
and Bobby asks Hank when he wants to have a professional takeover.
Ooh.
Which kind of brought us back to the Sirloin with Love finale of the show where Bobby was a expert, right, with steak cuts, identifying meat cuts, right? Wasn't that what it was?
Jesus, something along those lines. Yeah, because I think Hank is a little shook. He's like, coming from a professional comedian. But Bobby didn't pursue that dream. He went elsewhere. He now carries a spatula and hot sauce in his pocket at all times.
But not as a prop comic. You would have, I mean, if he would have been a prop comic, he still would be carrying those things all the time.
A little Gallagher action.
slamming his sauce with the spatula to squirt, yes, in the splash zone. Yes. So, you know, could have gone either way.
I don't know if we went into this, though, but they were kind of leading up to maybe the Hills should go back to Saudi Arabia, and we're almost getting there, and the Arabian Propane and Arabian Propane Accessory Company were, like, offering them, we'll offer you a house with a bowling alley. We'll even offer you a new wife. And like
a wife that Peggy's won't talk. Like,
yeah, a wife that won't talk. And then Peggy's like, maybe we can give the new wife to Bobby. Oh, fucking Peggy.
Little did Peggy know what Bobby was doing when he butt dialed her, getting it on with the college girl.
He was smashing some puss.
I think with that, with smashing some puss.
Yahoo! Join us next week.
Where follow, maybe we'll be more organized. Maybe we'll follow the flow of the show. Maybe.
You know what? It's not a recap. It's a appreciation of Arlen, Texas.
Appreciation in random order of random things that tangentially have relation to King of the Hill.
Somehow.
Next time on Taste the Heat. Not the meat.
Don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe. Join us on Discord, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe on YouTube at Taste the Heat Show. And follow us on Blue Sky at tastetheheat.show. You can also visit our website, tastetheheat.show, email us at show@tastetheheat.show, or leave us a voicemail at 844-443-HEAT.